Okay, so I'll try and be brief, and also I'll try and be clear. This is a shiur titled "The Loss of a Teacher is Like the Giving of a Torah," and it's based primarily on a shiur by Rabbi Shlomo Weizmann, whose shiur I enjoy quite regularly, and that shiur is titled "Eulogies of the Gedolim," or Gedolim Yisrael. So if you want, you can download that. I highly recommend it. It's very, very interesting, very, very moving as well. And short excerpts, but he includes a lot more material than necessarily I've provided here. Let's begin with a brief study of a series of verses from Malachim Beis. And perhaps one of the most inspiring moments, certainly Malachim Beis, and one may even argue in Nach. It's where Eliyahu leaves this world, and where Eliyahu specifically leaves his Talmud Elisha. And there's a give and take between Elisha and Eliyahu, spanning a series of 10 psukim, which results in extraordinary moment, extraordinary conversation, an extraordinary remark. For the purpose of time, we don't need to read through all the psukim, we have them in front of us, this Malachim Beis psukim Aleph Tiyud. But let's start with the first verse, skip a few psukim, and then end with Pasuk Yud. So he ba'alois Hashem as Eliyahu b'sar ha'shamayim v'yelech Eliyahu v'elisha min gilgal. Came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went to with Elisha from Gilgal. And Eliyahu says on three occasions, he basically tells Elisha, leave me alone, go back, don't worry. He says in Pasuk Beis, v'yom Eliyahu el Elisha, Shev na poi ki Hashem shalchani el beiskel. Right? V'yom Elisha chay Hashem, v'chay nefshecho imazvecho. Elisha says, no, I'm staying with you. Kind of reminds you a little bit of the encounter between Nomi and Ruth. Pasuk Dalud, again, v'yom Eliyahu el Elisha, Shev na poi. Again, the same Loshon. And Elisha again reiterates, no, I'm staying with you. And my Pasuk Vav, v'yom Eliyahu, Shev na poi. Again, however, Elisha remains. And they go on together as a pasuk continues, v'yelchu shneim, as if to say there's a certain acceptance by Eliyahu that Elisha is going nowhere. But Eliyahu has declared that he's going to be leaving this world. And there's a fascinating conversation between them, just in Psukim Tes Nyud, Pasuk Tes. V'hikav rom Eliyahu amar Elisha, sha'ol ma'ase eloch v'tem elkoch mimach. So Eliyahu says Elisha, basically, ask what I shall do for you before I'm taken away from you. And what says Elisha? V'yom Elisha, v'hina pishnayim bruchcha elai. I beg you, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. This is a pasuk which is confused, numerous mefarshim. Seems almost impudent and perhaps even impossible to claim perhaps twice the level of prophetic ability as Eliyahu Navi prior to Eliyahu Navi leaving this world. If you'd say, give me your prophetic ability, that perhaps would be understandable. But say, give me twice, that seems somewhat incomprehensible. But then Pasuk Tes leads us to an even greater level of curiosity about the entire event. V'emer hikshisa lishol im tiriyati lekuach mitach yiloch yilcho kein v'imayin lo yiyeh. He said the following. You've asked a difficult thing. Eliyahu saying back to Eliyahu. You've asked something which is very, very tricky. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so to you. But if not, it shall not be so. As if to say, if somehow you're able to observe my leaving this world, then your request to achieve a double portion of my spirit will be granted to you. If you don't see, well then it won't. Now we could debate precisely what this means, but there's a particular agenda which I'd like to explain based on this title, "The Loss of a Teacher Like the Giving of the Torah." So let's just pause for a second, reflect on these psukim. Elisha says to Eliyahu, give me pishnaim of your ruach. Eliyahu says, if you watch me leave this world, you'll receive it, and if not, let's put that to a side for a second. Let's learn the Gemara, which seems to be somewhat unrelated, and the final two sources will beautifully tie them together. This comes from a Gemara in Masechet Ketubot, and it's talking about the requirement of people to fulfill the mitzvah of Halavayas Hameis or Hachnasas Kala. How many people do we need to accompany the dead? How many people do we need to celebrate with a Chasan and Kala? More importantly, if you're in the midst of studying Torah, at what point are you exempt from participating in those ceremonies? Or at what point are you obliged to put your sefer down and join either a levaya or join the simcha in celebrating with Chosan and Kana? So the Gemara goes on, and for the purpose of time, I'm just going to give you the general idea. We're told basically, you got me mevatel tamato for both of these mitzvahs. But then the Gemara goes on to say, says, well, to what point? When there is not enough kol tzarkai, then you have to be mevatel tamato tamim. You've got to stop learning. When there is kol tzarkai, when there is a kind of a certain critical mass of people, then you continue to learn. And then the debate goes on, specifically focusing at this point with the mitzvah of Arsameis. What is kol tzarkai? What's the minimum amount of people involved in Halavaya that exempts you from stopping your Talmud Torah to have to then join the procession? It begins with a suggestion of 12,000 people accompanying the dead, with 6,000 trumpeteers. Well, there's another opinion which is 12 or 13,000 people, including 6,000 trumpeteers. There's another opinion that says, as long as there's a number of people which would fill the space between where the town is to where the cemetery is, well, then you're exempt. But I'm interested in the final line. And the final line is somewhat extraordinary, because I was told the following. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Netilato k'netinato. There's a different rule of thumb, which is, specifically here referring to the Levaya of the Talmud Chacham, we should ensure that the amount of people accompanying Talmud Chacham to their final place is the same amount of people as the amount of people who were there when the Torah was received. Ma netinato b'shishim ribay. Just as the Torah was received with 600,000 people, after Tilatov Shishim Ribbon, so too, a Levaya is incomplete unless there's 600,000 people, which basically means unless you reach this minimum requirement of 600,000, you should close a sefer and accompany the procession. Of course, since the time of Tanakh, and of Alan explained, of course, we referred to Rav Lichtenstein, I'll speak about him in a minute, but most recently, of course, Rav Yosef's Levaya really did achieve that, shall we say, critical mass. But other than that, I'm not aware of any Levaya that had such a large sum of people. Notwithstanding that, what we're actually being told is up to 600, basically less than 600,000 people already part of the Levaya, close the sefer, go and join it. But what is he saying? Netilato k'netinato. That is, when the Talmud Chacham leaves this world, it should mirror the way the Torah was given. In fact, it's actually a very, very deep idea. I'll give you two indications of direction and then point to the one which Rav Aaron Kotler seeks to explore. One is, this is a din of kavod Torah. That is, we're supposed to show kavod Torah to Talmud Chacham who's passed away, in the same way that we showed kavod Torah to the quantity of people receiving the Torah. That kind of makes sense. But there's a deeper idea, as I say, which is which I'd like to explore, which is called Gilui HaTorah. We should have the same amount of people when the Torah is revealed as the amount of people accompanying a Talmud Chacham who's just passed away, because both actually offer an opportunity for Gilui HaTorah, that is, the revelation of the Torah. Let me explain to you how Rav Aaron Kotler explains it. Please turn the page, and again, I'm not going to read every word, only for the purpose of time, but I'm happy to go through it later on if you'd like. Rav Reisman explores this idea based on three hespedim. He actually begins by referring to the hesped that the Chasam Sofer gave to his Rebbe Rav Nosson Adler. I didn't bring the text of that simply because there's just one or two words there which are particularly interesting and for the sake of space, but I'm glad he sent you the Maamar Komus. But then he also refers to the hesped that Rav Aaron Kotler gave to his father-in-law. This is Alan Meltzer. And Rav Aaron Kotler explores this concept of netilato k'netinato. He actually does it on a number of places, in a number of hespedim that he gave to other peers for which he was masbid. And he says the following. He says, when you reflect on the death of a great godel, one of Nifta, it can achieve great things. And he refers back to the psukim of Malachim. He basically combines the psukim from Malachim to the Gemara I looked at in Ksubas. He says, recall, Elisha sought twice the portion of Ruach HaKodesh, shall we say, of Eliyahu HaNavi, right? And we're told, if you see me leaving, then you'll receive us. If you don't, then you won't. As if to say, only upon his leaving the world was Eliyahu HaNavi able to fulfill the commitment that Elisha had sought from him. Only upon his departing this world was he able to give his Talmud this Pi Shnayim which he requested. Now the way people explain it is, ultimately, when we're bound in our body, we have a certain spiritual attainment, certain spiritual quality. But when, in the process of freeing ourselves from our physical limitations, in fact, our spiritual capabilities ascend. They reach a certain crescendo. This is to say that Eliyahu HaNavi himself doubled up in his spiritual potential, which he was able to then pass on as an inheritance to Elisha. But Rav Amkot then goes on to explain the following. He says, at Matan Torah, we had 600,000 people. And if any one of those people were missing, then Matan Torah couldn't have happened. That is, we received the Torah not just because there was lots of people there, because every single person was a receptacle for part of Torah. Without any one individual person, Matan Torah could not have taken place. Every person was able to receive an aspect of Torah, a unique quality of Torah. And what Rambam then goes on to say is, so too occurs when a Rav, a Rebbe, a Godel is Nifta. When you see them leave the world, just like Elisha saw his Rebbe, Eliyahu, leave the world, you can be recipient of part of their Torah, just as much as each of the Israel are recipient of the Torah at Matan Torah. So when you refer back to Psukim in Malachim, and the instruction of Eliyahu HaNavi says, if you see me going, then so shall be so. Meaning, if you're involved in my departure from this world, if you're involved in that netilata, in that gilui of a person leaving this world and ascending from the physical limitations to the spiritual world, then you can be part of that mirror image of Matan Torah, and you can receive a part of the Torah that I'm not able to have with myself, but you're able to become now an inheritor of what was within me, of what I was carrying myself. It's a profound idea. That means participation, involvement in the levaya of a Talmid Chacham is a benefit not just to the mace in which it's shown covered. It's a benefit to those who are participants, because Nitilatok and Nitinatok, just as a Matan Torah, each of us were beneficiaries of grace of Kodesh Baruch Hu through giving each of us Torah. We're also beneficiaries of the grace of the Talmid Chacham, because through our association with that moment, we too receive an aspect of their Torah. And when Rav Yisrael Weizmann refers back to the Hesped of the Chasam Sofer to his teacher of Nosson Adler, he lamented how the fact he himself wasn't at the Levaya of his Rebbe. He explains, in fact, how he's an incredible Talmud, how it was Mishamish him 24/7, but at least the time when Rav Nosson Adler was Nifta, he wasn't with him. And he regrets, he says, were I to have been with him, were I to have seen him leave this world in the same vein as Elisha seeing Eliyahu leave this world, I would have received far, far more of his spiritual understanding, far, far more of his spiritual comprehension. So let's summarize where we're up so far. We looked at Psukim from Malachim, described this extraordinary moment where Elisha sees his Rebbe, Eliyahu HaNavi, leave. He requests Pishnaim of his Ruach, and we're basically told, if you see me leave this world, then that's what you will receive. The Gemara tells him to Tilatok and Itinatok. The Rav Amkot explains that if you're present as part of the funeral procession, or present certainly the Patira of a Rebbe or a Godel, then you become a recipient of their Torah, just like you're recipients of the Torah at Matan Torah. Extraordinary idea. And to further demonstrate this, there's a different Gemara in which this idea is absolutely explicit. Rav Dessa explores this in his Hesped to the Chazon Ish. The Gemara says at the beginning of Ksuvos, how Yom Dishkav Teda Rebbe, the day which Rebbe died. Rav Yehuda Nasi, what happened? Nafka Bas Kol Alot Va'omah. A Bas Kol came out and said, Kol Dehavi Vashkav Teda Rebbe, Muzuman Hu L'chai Ha'olam Abba. Whoever was there at the Tir of Rebbe gets Olam Abba. Now Rav Dessa basically says, what? That kind of goes against a grain of everything I've written else in Michtav Eliyahu. That's why you've got to work for your Olam Haba. You're just in the right place at the right time, or the wrong place at the wrong time, if you want to describe it. How is it possible that simply by being at the Ptira of a Rav that you're Zeicha to Olam Haba? Rav Dess explains it both in the spirit of the Psukim from Malachim, in the spirit of the Gemara of Netinata, and along the same lines as Rav Aaron Kotler. But he explains it in the following way. How is it that we are worthy of Olam Haba simply by being present when somebody is niftar? And I should add, whilst the Gemara specifically refers to us being present when somebody is niftar, it actually means being present in part of listening to the Hespedim, for example, reflect on that person's patira in a very serious way. And he basically says the following. When somebody is niftar, and we seriously reflect, not just through empty crying, if we seriously consider the loss, if we seriously consider the void, if we seriously consider their capabilities, their achievements, their contributions, the spirituality of such an individual, if you invest significant energy in understanding who they were, what they did, then that, a bit like the Gemara beforehand, becomes more and more part of us. The more we reflect moments of loss when great people pass away, the more we can become inheritors of their greatness, because we have become receptacles to accept their teachings. We have cleansed ourselves and prepared ourselves to accept their way of the world. In fact, we become greater, sadly, at the same time that they're lost to the world, as long as we're prepared to invest heavily in reflecting on the great loss that there is. Having listened, Alan was explaining this beforehand, having listened to Hespedim specifically about Lichtenstein, and I too wasn't a direct Talmud of his, although I've studied a lot of his writings, just listening to Hespedim very much is one of the most extraordinary lessons of Musa. And it helps you reflect on how you can be a better person. More specifically, unfortunately, the last 50 months, two of my closest teachers were Nifta, my Rav Dayan Lopian and my Rosh Kolo Dayan Amor. And that concept, whilst Rav Lichtenstein was not a Rav of mine in the usual sense of the word, but I've gone through the process of mourning very, very significant teachers to me. And whilst I'd desperately like to have further conversations with them, I'd desperately like to seek their guidance, I can honestly say that when a Rav is Nifta and you really, really invest heavily in considering that loss, you don't just cry crocodile tears, but you mourn them, you weep them. There's Bechi, there's Hesped, there's reflection. Then whilst they're no longer physically in the world, you become a worthy inheritor of at least part of their teachings. They become part of you in a very, very serious way. And the more you ponder it, the more they become part of you, and the more you have that sense of gilui. So consequently, in preparation now of Lag BaOmer, what's this lesson? The lesson is that in a couple of days' time, we're reflecting on the Patira of Rosh Hashanah Bar Yochai. And unlike the traditional way of people mourning, there's a Yom Hilula. There, shall we say, a celebration. But that celebration makes complete sense in light of all these teachings. Because what we're actually trying to do is trying to be like Elisha. We're trying to look at the departure. We're trying to reflect on the loss. We're trying to achieve a sense of netinata, netilatok, and netinata. Their taking was also part of our receiving. This is most famously expressed through Lag BaOmer. Through the Patira of Rosh Hashanah Bar Yochai, we became recipients of the secrets of the Torah. And through the genuine consideration of what that loss is, we're able to similarly, genuinely receive that Torah. So whilst there are different minhagim of Lag BaOmer, and each may well have their own derech, there's no question to my mind, it's an obvious part of the Avodah on Lag BaOmer to reflect carefully on who Rosh Hashanah Bar Yochai was, to reflect carefully on the loss, but also to reflect carefully on the inheritance we received. Now, whilst that inheritance may have happened spiritually, we're likely to be able to point to things and say, this is the Torah of Rosh Hashanah Bar Yochai, this is the Torah that he left, he gave, he enabled us to receive upon his passing. So we learn basically from Lag BaOmer, in many ways, a beautiful expression of this gorgeous concept, this concept repeated by the Chasam Sofer when he's maspid his Rebbe Nosson Adler, this gorgeous idea that Rav Aaron Kotler speaks about on a number of occasions, specifically when being maspid his father-in-law, this stunning idea that the Mechtav Eliyahu speaks about when being maspid the Chazen Ish, and this in many ways profoundly basic concept which we see in Tanakh itself in a series of verses when Elisha speaks to his Rebbe Eliyahu Novi, and Eliyahu says, if you look at my parting, then you'll be able to be recipient. Our job is to deeply reflect on the significant impact of our teachers, is to ponder those carefully, and Ezrat Hashem will be able to be worthy recipients, worthy inheritors, and worthy followers of those great people.
Okay, I should pass everybody. Thank you for coming around.